Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Bhattacharya to bless him while he engaged in the devotional service of Lord Krishna at home, so that by Sarvabhauma's mercy, the Lord could return to Jagannath Puri. So there was two other verses that I need to read preceding this one, just to give a bit of context. 67, the Bhattacharya, and 68, the Bhattacharya said, "By your mercy, I can now understand the truth about Ramananda Roy. In talking with him, you also will acknowledge his greatness." Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's request that he meet Ramananda Roy. Bidding Sarvabhauma farewell, the Lord embraced him. So let me see if I can read the purport. The word Kariha Asyavade means "continue to bestow your blessings upon me." Being a sannyasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the fourth order of life and was thus due all respect and adoration. Whereas Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, as a householder, was in the second order. A sannyasi is supposed to offer blessings to a grihastha, yet now, by his practical behavior, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested the blessings of a grihastha. This incident shows the special significance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching. He gave equal status to everyone, regardless of material considerations. His movement is thoroughly spiritual. Although apparently a grihastha, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was unlike the so-called karmis interested in sense gratification. After being initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhattacharya was perfectly situated in the spiritual order. Therefore, it was quite possible for him to offer blessings even to a sannyasi. He was always engaged in the service of the Lord, even at home. In our disciplic line, we have the example of a perfect householder, Paramahamsa, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In his book, Sharanagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, "Ye dina grihe bhajan deki grihete golokabaya." That's "Ye dina grihe bhajan deki grihete golokabaya." You recognize that song? That's Shuddha Bhakata. "Whenever a householder glorifies the Supreme Lord in his home, his activities are immediately transformed into the activities of Goloka Vrindavan. Spiritual activities taking place in the Goloka Vrindavan planet of Krishna. Activities exhibited by Krishna himself at Poma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan Dham existing on this planet, are not different from his activities on the planet Goloka Vrindavan. This is proper realization of Vrindavan anywhere. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we inaugurated the new Vrindavan activities, wherein devotees are always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and this is not different from Goloka Vrindavan. The conclusion is that one who acts strictly in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is competent to offer blessings to sannyasis, even though he be a grihastha householder. Although he is in an exalted position, a sannyasi still must elevate himself to the transcendental platform by rendering service to the Lord. By his actual behavior, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begged the blessings of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. In this way, he set the example of how one should expect blessings from a Vaishnava, regardless of his social position. Namaram Vishnu Pranaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachayane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacchadesha Dharane. So I'm going to go through the purport piece by piece and say what I understand Srila Prabhupada to be saying. I was thinking of getting one or two of you also to do the same, but I'm not sure how much time we've got. But this is the beginning of the purport. The word Kariha Asyavade means "continue to bestow your blessings upon me." Being a sannyasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the fourth order of life and thus was due all respect and adoration, whereas Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, as a householder, was in the second order. A sannyasi is supposed to offer blessings to Grihastha, but now, by his practical behavior, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested the blessings of a Grihastha. So, I understand here, well, the context obviously is that the Lord is speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya soon after his conversion. And Prabhupada's saying that in the general course of events, I understand, a sannyasi is of course considered superior to a householder, at least from external considerations. The sannyasi is supposed to be the spiritual master of all the orders of life. So, and grihasthas, yet generally speaking, offer their respects, of course, to sannyasis, who, as a rule, travel from house to house and preach, and then offer their blessings to the householder. But here, Lord Chaitanya showed a different example by by asking blessings from Sarvabhauma. So, the next Prabhupada comments on this. This incident shows the special significance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching. He gave equal status to everyone, regardless of material considerations. His movement is thoroughly spiritual. Do we have a microphone that can be passed? I try and get, say, one man and one lady to give their understanding. When you understand it, just stick in completely to what you understand Srila Prabhupada to be saying. Don't embellish it with your own comments, realizations, as wonderful as they may be. Just we want to focus now on understanding what Srila Prabhupada is saying. So any of the men, just one of you would like to say what you understand the point Prabhupada is making here, if you understand it. Can you give it to Srinivas?
From my understanding, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being a grihastha, could be an advanced, like very advanced, we can't understand. Same like Prabhupada, he was a grihastha, but he was very advanced. So Lord Chaitanya is showing from this example that even a grihastha could be an advanced devotee. Getting blessings from them, we can make advancement.
Thank you. So he's showing that a grihastha can be an advanced devotee, and thus he's offering him, asking him for his blessings. Yeah. Did you want to? No. Can you pass to any lady that would like to understand? Can you give your understanding? Have you been trained by Chintamani?
I've been trained by your good wife.
Okay.
So my understanding from what Srila Prabhupada is saying is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his preaching, is giving the perfect example that irrespective of what caste you're in, you can have knowledge of Godhead and therefore give blessings.
Thank you. So he's showing that regardless of whatever caste, your external designation may be, you can still be considered an advanced devotee and give blessings to someone who's externally superior to you. Thank you very much, yeah. Kivaribhi, yeah, we'll come to that. That's right. I like that understanding, and both of you, thank you. It's special significance. Prabhupada said this is significant because Lord Chaitanya did not abide by the normal worldly considerations. That's what I understand that to mean, that he acted in a different way. What was that way? He gave equal status to everyone, regardless of material considerations. So, what does it mean, equal status? I was thinking about that. I think it's, you know, he's saying that the bodily considerations were disregarded, and he saw everyone on the spiritual platform and accepted them, everyone with equal potential to be an advanced devotee of Krishna. that it's not that because you have a particular kind of body, you're a Shudra, or you're a woman, that you cannot become an advanced devotee. yes, actually. So this was the special significance, and as Vishwambhava Prabhu rightly says, the evidence is given in the CC that Kiba Vipra Kiba Nyasi Shudra Kenyanyo, but I actually have cited that right here, funnily enough. Whether one is a Brahmin, a sannyasi, or a Shudra, regardless, Jai Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. He will become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. So, I rest my case. let's move on. This is the next. Although apparently a grihastha, householder, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was unlike the so-called karmis interested in sense gratification. After being initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhattacharya was perfectly situated in the spiritual order. Therefore, it was quite possible for him to offer blessings even to a sannyasi. So any of the men like to give an understanding of that? Just one of you? Just purely what you understand Prabhupada to be saying? Someone other than Srinivas, who's already had a go? If not, a lady?
That is important.
It's the quality of devotion that is important. Thank you. Can you give it to my wife? You wanted to give an understanding?
Okay, I will anyway.
Thank you very much.
Although apparently grihastha, so... Okay, I understand what Prabhupada is saying is that apparently grihastha means that we externally have a specific role in society, but the internal reality is different. So normally, in grihamedi life, or married life, people are married because they want sense gratification. And Prabhupada is saying that Sarvabhauma had a position of someone who normally wants sense gratification. But internally, because he had taken spiritual initiation from Lord Chaitanya, his mentality was different. He was not interested in sense gratification. And Lord Chaitanya was more interested in his internal reality than in his external position.
Yeah, thank you. So, picked up on the apparently a householder. Why apparently? Because a householder generally means a kami who wants to enjoy sense gratification. That's why one accepts the householder ashram. But the Bhattacharya was different. He was not interested in sense gratification. And he was... Lord Chaitanya accepted him seeing the internals, not the externals. He didn't say, oh, you're a fallen householder, I'm not going to associate with you, because he could see that Sarvabhauma was advanced in spiritual life. Yeah, thank you. So let's move on to the next one. I wanted to cite this verse because it said there that after being initiated, the Bhattacharya was perfectly situated in the spiritual order. And one might say, it raised a question which I'd like to touch on briefly. Well, mere initiation is sufficient to situate me in the spiritual order? And the answer is no, not just the act of diksha, but there's a little more required. And this is the evidence from the Anchalila, Diksha Kali Bhakta Kari Atma Samapana. Say Kali Krishna Tare Kari Atma Sama. At the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders unto the service of the Lord, Lord Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. So there's a significant phrase there in that, and that is Atma Samapana. So being initiated is required, but more than that is also required if you are to be fully spiritual, you know, to be. And that is that you must surrender. So it's not enough. If you don't follow the instructions of the Guru and completely surrender to those, you're still considered fallen, even after initiation. So this is the evidence. We'll move on. So this is the next part of the purport. He was always engaged in the service of the Lord, even at home. In our disciplic line, we have the example of a perfect householder, Paramahamsa, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his book, Sharanagati, Bhaktivinoda states, Yehi Dina Grihe Bhajanada, while worshipping Krishna, he could see that his house was transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. Whenever a householder glorifies the Supreme Lord in his home, his activities are immediately transformed into the activities of Goloka Vrindavan, spiritual activities taking place in the Goloka Vrindavan planet. So anyone like to state what they understand this point, the main point here? Prayojana, can you give him the microphone? Just your understanding, Prayojana Ji.
It's an interesting aspect, but just slightly going back on Mort's thing, but also it was understood that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was Kshetra Sannyas, and that's another aspect to it, you know, which is on that previous topic you were talking about.
Kshetra Sannyas.
Yeah, he was in fact, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's previously stated that his status was a Kshetra Sannyas, that actually he was just stationed in that Kshetra, and it was understood that he was on that restriction thing. You can look it up if you want in the...
It's fine, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But what does this say? Just, you see this this block here on the... What do you understand that to be saying? What's Prabhupada's point?
He was also a sannyas, but in the terms of a kshetra sannyas. In other words, he'd taken a restricted position in this dham. You know, he's staying there, and that was his position. You know, like I'm trying to think of the. Gopal Abhata Goswami was it? But anyway, he was also restricted to stay in...
Gadadhar Pandit.
Gadadhar Pandit, yeah. To restrict it and to stay in there. He vowed to stay in Jagannath Puri, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in that way. But with regards to your question, could you just mention it again, please? On this current...
He's asking, what do you understand from...
Yeah, the point.
This particular part here.
Just this point. You can read it from there.
Yeah. Basically, it's reiterating the same thing, actually. And it's still based on not the externals. It's based on the internal relationship with Krishna.
Okay.
Certainly, with that respect, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also had a certain experience that Mahaprabhu may not have had, in that he was converted. He had to be humiliated. And this gave him some vigyan, that actually it was a position that he was, because of the sannyas of Mahaprabhu, was that... He wanted to preach.
Can we just hold it there, because you're kind of going into your own sort of commentary on it now. Can we get someone from the ladies to understand? Can pass it over to... thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. So what I understand here, what Srila Prabhupada is saying, is that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, even though he was a householder, but he was, whatever he was doing, even at his home, he was doing as a service to the Lord. And we have the example of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was a grihastha, but he was completely focused on Krishna in whatever he was doing. And therefore it is said here that even if somebody is a householder, but they are glorifying the Lord, they are worshipping the Lord at home, then they are acting on a spiritual platform, just like in the spiritual world.
Thank you very much. So, yeah, you understand that the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is and Sarvabhaum was also always engaged in bhakti in his house, and Bhaktivinoda is the perfect example of that. So, therefore, even though a householder, he was on the spiritual platform, and his house was like the spiritual world because of the spiritual activities that were taking place there. Thank you very much. That was very good. Let's move on. Activities exhibited by Krishna himself at Boma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan Dham existing on this planet, are not different from his activities on the planet Goloka Vrindavan. This is proper realization of Vrindavan anywhere. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we inaugurated the new Vrindavan activities wherein devotees are always engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord, and this is not different from Goloka. Anyone feel like they could do an understanding of this? Of the amongst the men? I know there's quite a few ladies have been trained up here in the principles. That's right, thank you. Yes, they live even in the family, they're practicing spiritual life, and so they're like as good as sannyasis in that sense. Did you want to understand, Mataji?
Okay, I can try. So, okay, so first of all, it is said that all the pastimes, whatever Krishna is performing here on this earthly planet in the holy places, in Vrindavan, and the Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world, so there are no differences. This is exactly the same. And if we understand this, then it said this is a proper realization of Vrindavan. So that is a true realization when we know there's no difference between the Vrindavan on this planet Earth and the Vrindavan in Goloka Vrindavan. Then it is saying, so that's why we have also here in our Krishna conscious movement, we perform all the activities which are offered in Goloka Vrindavan, so we also perform them here at our temples, and in this way, in our homes, and in this way we turn these places also into Goloka Vrindavan.
Thank you, yeah. Did you want to add something?
Thank Jagat Priya for her saying, but I also wanted to add something, that probably this is proper realization of Vrindavan anywhere, so I wanted to focus on that. That what makes Boma Vrindavan the same as Goloka Vrindavan, it's the activities that are Boma activities.
Mm.
So if you do those activities anywhere, that makes it Goloka Vrindavan. This proper realization of Vrindavan anywhere means that you have to understand what makes a place Vrindavan.
Mm.
It's not the geographical location, it's the activities.
Mm.
And if I may, that's similarly with Lord Chaitanya's movement, it's not your external situation, it's your activities that distinguishes whether you're advanced or not. I think that's the point. You have to look at the activity.
Yeah. They pick up on the fact that Goloka Vrindavan and Boma Vrindavan are the same, but what makes a place Vrindavan is not its geographical location or anything like that, but the activities that are taking place there. So wherever, Vrindavan anywhere, Prabhupada said. So Vrindavan can be anywhere. Why? Because anywhere you can engage in the activities of Krishna consciousness fully, and it transforms it into Vrindavan. And this was the case of Sarvabhauma and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that their activities were fully spiritual, so they transformed where they were into Vrindavan. And Prabhupada gives the example of New Vrindavan. Why did he call it New Vrindavan? Because all the activities there were in the service of the Lord. Radha, Vrindavan, hopefully, Chandra, most of the time. Vrindavan, did you want to add something to the understanding, Prabhu?
I totally agree with Chintambani. Said the activities and the consciousness, it's actually purifying the environment where you are.
Mm.
And that environment becomes Vrindavan, whether you are at home, outside, or hell, or whatever.
Right.
But also, yeah, which is, there is a verse in 1858, Bhagavad Gita, Chitta Sa Sarva Karmani, Mai Sanyasi Matpara Buddhyoga Pashritya Machita Satatambhava. The Lord Krishna says, in all activities, whatever you do, act always under my protection, in devotion.
Yeah.
And such a person is, it's like a sannyasi.
Yeah.
My sannyasi matpara is the topmost.
Topmost sannyasi, yeah.
That is the activity and the consciousness, you know, it creates the environment.
Right.
Of Vrindavan.
Thank you, yeah.
Like Chintamani said, it's not the place that we're...
It's the consciousness of the...
To Vrindavan, and I am in Vrindavan.
Of the actor, yeah. That's right, yeah. And can you pass it to this message? Did you want to add something to the understanding?
I just want to highlight, you know, what Chintamani Mataji is saying, and also Prabhu, that Prabhu touched on it, but consciousness, the word specifically, the key word for me in this is consciousness. We don't just say the Krishna movement, we say Krishna consciousness. So yes, the activities are there, it's important. We can do activities, we can sweep the floor, we can, you know, wash the dishes, we can cook. But is our consciousness absorbed in Krishna?
Mm.
This is for Krishna. I'm serving my husband, I'm washing the dishes for Krishna.
Mm.
That's the consciousness.
Right, yes, you're picking up on the word there, Krishna consciousness. So everything we do should be done for Krishna. And that is the key element that transforms the place into Vrindavan. Thank you. So let's move on because we're short on time today. This is the end of the purport. The conclusion is that one who acts strictly in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is competent to offer blessings to sannyasis, even though he be a grihastha householder. Although he is in an exalted position, a sannyasi still must elevate himself to the transcendental platform by rendering service to the Lord. By his actual behavior, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begged the blessings of Sarvabhauma. In this way, he set the example of how one should expect blessings from a Vaishnava regardless of his social position. So let's just understand this last bit. Any of the other men here? Right, to give an understanding? If not, we can move over to the ladies. Any other ladies there like to understand this? Can you pass it over to, what's her name? I forget her name.
Okay. Hare Krishna. So my understanding is that...
Speak loud.
Okay. Anyone who's following Lord Chaitanya... very staunchly, they are qualified to give blessings to sannyasis, regardless of their ashram. So if they're a householder, they can still give their blessings. And sannyasi still has to elevate, he still has to progress to a higher level by offering service to the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya gave an example of this by asking for blessings from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then Prabhupada's just reiterating that point at the end that we don't base, we don't kind of judge somebody based on their ashram. Anyone can give blessings.
Thank you. Was there someone wanted to add something? Lalita? Hold on a second.
I just wanted to, reading that, it appears that Lord Chaitanya understood where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was because he was totally dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya wasn't looking at him from an external point of view. And Lord Chaitanya is showing that you shouldn't judge anyone from an external point of view. Therefore, he's saying that he's setting this example that anyone can give blessings if they're following strictly this Krishna consciousness, regardless of the position.
Thank you. Yeah, you're saying that Lord Chaitanya was not seeing externally, and that Sarvabhauma was very strictly following, so he was on the spiritual platform. So the Lord saw that. He saw internally, not externally. And the point is that someone who is on that exalted position can offer blessings to anyone, even they may be supposedly above them in the social order. Did you want to say something in understanding? Can you pass the microphone across to Prabhuji? Thank you.
Hare Krishna. From what I understand is that one who strictly follows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions becomes a Vaishnava, and that's why he's able to offer blessings to a sannyasi. And in the second sentence it says, although he's in an exalted position, that means sannyasi is in the fourth order, but it seems there's a fifth order, a Vaishnava. That's why Vaishnava is competent to give a sannyasi blessings. And the grihastha, even though he's in the second order, his internal consciousness could be a Vaishnava order. And that's why we can't judge anyone through external. We have to see their consciousness. That's what I understand.
Thank you. Yeah, so you're saying that someone who follows strictly is a Vaishnava. And, you know, you're saying that's like there's a fifth order almost. You know, there's the four orders, but he's above all of them. And thus can offer the blessings even to someone on the highest external sannyas order. Yeah, thank you. Couple of things I wanted to pick up here on also. Act strictly in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What does that mean? I understand because Lord Chaitanya defined Vaishnava as asatsanga tyag. So someone who is completely free of asatsanga in body, mind and words. So he doesn't waste any time. He's simply 100% absorbed in Krishna, in his activities of Krishna consciousness, in his thoughts, in his acts, and in his speech. You'll never detect any asat, anything which is illusory, which is maya, basically. So that's strictly. And and although he's in an exalted position of sannyas, he still must elevate himself to the transcendental platform by rendering service to the Lord. And that I understand in the Gita is defined as mangchau yogi avicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityai tan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So by unwavering avicharena devotional service, one elevates himself to the spiritual platform. So I understand this is what Prabhupada's speaking about there. I actually have that verse there, but let's move on. I wanted to come back, and as well as doing understandings and doubts, and you know, well, when you do an understanding, sometimes it brings up doubts and confusions, and you ask those questions and try and resolve them. We try to go to a so what, and what does this tell me? What practical lessons can we get from? You know, this particular point here, the key point, one of the key points in this purport, there's two really, but the one I'm focusing on at the moment is this, that regardless of one's external material position, he can give blessings to someone above him from the external point of view. And this was Lord Chaitanya's special significance of his movement. So this raises for me, you know, that, for example, at the moment there's a current controversy in ISKCON as regards can ladies become spiritual masters. And I found this purport to be quite significant in that regard. And, you know, seemingly answering the question... I cited a couple of verses here that these sorts of discussions are like, ooh, this is too controversial. We shouldn't discuss it. But Chaitanya Charitamrita says you should not, because neglect it. Because, why? Because to engage in discussions of Krishna consciousness, even if they're challenging, even if it's controversial, if it's done in the nice way, in the right way, strengthens the mind. And what does that mean? Thus, one's mind becomes attached to Krishna. So it brings us closer. It brings us more into Krishna consciousness. But it must be done in a certain kind of way. And this verse in the 11th canto is extremely significant in that regard. And that is that if we're doing satsanga properly, if we're actually associating with each other and discussing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness nicely, rather than it resulting in fractious disputes and divisions and bellicosity and all kinds of problems, it should bring us closer together. The whole point of Krishna consciousness is that we come together as all serving under the same Lord, under Srila Prabhupada. And here we see that in the Bhagavatam it says that one should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. So it's an extremely powerful process. We can give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering, if we're able to associate nicely and discuss these points of Krishna consciousness. So this is the real point that I was going to look at, and I have some evidences around this. But to me, this says that equal status to everyone. Why should there be any question that anyone, Shudras, for example, obviously, Kiva Vipra Kiva Nyasi Shudra Kena Noi. And then that means, does that not include ladies? So I would understand it like that. From reading this, it would seem to be a very clear indication that, yes, of course, why not? What's the problem? Lord Chaitanya has accepted it. Why shouldn't we accept it? So would anyone have any other thoughts on that, but to do it in a nice way? Manaji first, go ahead. Based on what you've understood, your response, the so what?
Yeah, I just want to talk about the scriptures in general, how many quotes we hear about mlechas are, of less intelligence, have no qualification, meat-eaters, drunkards, and yet mlechas can still elevate themselves to become a spiritual master.
Right.
So what to speak of other classes, women, shudras, vaishyas? Yeah. There's no question.
Yeah.
It's about qualification, which comes from the internal consciousness, which is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is clearly saying. Irrespective of your caste, irrespective of your bodily designation, everyone has equal status, regardless of material considerations.
Right.
It's finished.
Thank you. Yeah, so you're saying that you've noted in scripture statements that indicate that mlechas, etc., can be elevated. Well, mamhi patavya pashrita yapisha papa yonaya. So the papa yonayas, they can also be elevated and param getim, achieve this supreme destination. So that includes everyone. And specifically, it mentions ladies in that verse, doesn't it? Striya Vaisha Tata Sutra. Yeah. So, yeah, if you have any point, thank you very much. That's a very good point. And this is exactly what's echoed here by Lord Chaitanya, by this particular example of Sarvabhauma. So, yeah. Did you want to say something in this regard? And when we raise points about this issue, I think it's important always to cite the scriptural evidence. Sorry, Vish, I forgot about you. Yeah, go ahead.
I the way I was penetrating on this is that deeply, that Lord Chaitanya is setting an example here. He doesn't just see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as an inferior or as an equal. I know we're talking about women and... But he illustrates the tangible truth that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because he behaved as a Vaishnav, you know, a devotee of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, God himself, he became Bhaktivatsala, you know, the servant, and that's why he wanted the blessings. So similarly, now if God does such a thing, who are we to defy, you know, our attitudes against women, you know, from becoming guru? Because we think of, because I read somewhere, less intelligence, or therefore they cannot become guru, that they cannot be higher than me. But actually, if we adopt the vision and the behavior of Mahaprabhu, that you can even see a child being your guru, or a prostitute. So therefore, and you invoke blessings, you know, like Lord Chaitanya invoked the blessings from an impersonalist there.
Yeah.
So, and there are so many qualified women in our society, but I feel, anyway, my personal opinion, that the students of Krishna consciousness, so-called men jovenists, you know, they don't really adopt, you know, the vision, the example of Mahaprabhu. Two, sometimes there are people, whether they're women or sudra, or more qualified than us, and require sincerity and humility to accept it. That's the thing that it's lacking. It's the truthfulness within ourselves. Yes, this person is preaching very nice, he's better than me, he's my guru. But there is something there. No, I am a man, I am higher. So that's the pride. Which is, you know, it travels around in different garments, whether someone is sannyasi or... and it's difficult, you know, to see.
Yeah.
Another body, you know, as a guru. Anyway, that's the way I saw it here, that Mahaprabhu doesn't just see him as an equal, but he saw him as his superior.
Right.
That's why Bhaktivatsala becomes a servant of his devotee.
Thank you.
So we can become also disciple of a qualified female guru as
right.
well.
Thank you very much, yeah.
That's my few pennies.
Just pass that and then we'll come over to Tarun. Sorry, Prabhu. Yeah, and I'll just quickly capture what he said, that Lord Chaitanya, you know, didn't just see Sarvabhauma as an equal, but he actually accepted him as a superior, and that he'd come himself as a devotee, Bhaktivatsala, and, you know, so he was in a humble mood, and he was able to transcend these external considerations, which we struggle to do. You know, he's saying, like, I'm in a man's body, and, you know, I'm superior, you know, and women are less intelligent, or something like that. So we latch on to various statements of that type to you know, reinforce our own egoistic ideas, you know. But so we need to really be able, have the humility to see that if someone is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, they're my guru. They're more advanced than me. And that was Lord Chaitanya's example. He was able to do that. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Did you want to add?
I wanted to thank Vishwambar for such a nice insight, but I also wanted to give some evidences from Prabhupada on this point. So this is the letter he sent to Himavati, who was her husband was? I forget his name.
Hamsa Dutta,
yes, Himavati. Is it okay? So sorry. Yeah. So this is a letter. There's two excerpts I want to read, but this is a letter to Hemavati, who is Hamsuduta's wife. So Prabhupada writes, "This is a new thing in the history of the Sankirtan movement. In India, all the Acharyas and their descendants later on acted only from their man's side. Their wives were at home because that is the system from old times, that women are not required to go out. But in Bhagavad Gita, we find that women are also equally competent, like the men, in the matter of Krishna consciousness movement. Please, therefore, carry on these missionary activities and prove it by practical example that there is no bar for anyone in the matter of preaching work for Krishna consciousness." So to me, that's a direct statement. It's like Lord Chaitanya is saying to Sarvabhauma, as Prabhupada is saying a similar thing.
Mm.
And there is one other evidence, if I may. This is a morning walk where Dr. Patel was really taking the kind of like Varnashram
The one who liked to argue with Prabhupada.
Yeah. And he was really saying, women should know their place. Yeah. Prabhupada was saying, why do you hate women so much? And Prabhupada, he was saying, I don't hate women. This is the way to avoid, you know, illicit sex. It has to be kept, you know, just they should know their place. They should serve their husbands. And Prabhupada, at the end of that morning walk, he kept arguing against Dr. Patel. But at the end of that, Prabhupada says this. Because when they entered into the temple at the end of the walk, all his Vaishnavi disciples, Yamuna, possibly Vishakha, Malati, others were there to greet Prabhupada, and they had cleaned the temple, they had worshipped the deities, and they just welcomed Prabhupada back into the temple.
There was a few of them,
so when they opened the door to greet Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, but these women are not ordinary women. They are preachers. They are preachers. They are Vaishnav. By their association, one becomes Vaishnav.
Nice, yeah.
That just seems to me Prabhupada's
direct statement, yeah. Thank you. Can you pass it to Tarun? And then Cyrus the Great.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, everybody. Very important point here. In the verse itself, that we don't see that Sarabhauma Bhattacharya accepted formal diksha. There was no fire yagya. There was no change in the names. Initiation means in the heart. Therefore, it's called the universe initiated. So, who stops you to be shiksha to somebody without formal diksha? You can have flock of your disciples as a shiksha, instructions. This also reveals the responsibility of guru from all others, so many responsibilities of diksha. What's the problem to be shiksha?
Mm.
They are shiksha, they're great. There's no problem if they become diksha, woman or anyone else.
Mm.
But shiksha, our line is shiksha also.
Mm.
Okay. So there's no problem to be shiksha. Why somebody so eager to become diksha guru?
Mm-hmm.
Be shiksha, you glorify, you're on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
That's my main point. So
thank
shiksha,
you very much.
Yes.
Yeah.
As last lines in this quotation from your wife, Mother Chaitanya, said, you're qualified to make you know, anyone who comes in touch with such a Vaishnava
becomes
automatically purified.
Mm.
This speaks about shiksha mostly. Diksha is formality, but there's no harm that comes. But shiksha is the most important thing.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're emphasizing the fact that shiksha is the key thing, and that in the case of Sarvabhauma, there wasn't the external formalities like Lord Chaitanya had fire sacrifice.
And worship lotus feet of your guru.
Yeah.
The problem is your shiksha.
Yeah.
Worship your shiksha, no problem.
It's a thing in the heart that you surrender to the spiritual master.
That's the main point there.
Yeah.
He was initiated.
Yeah.
That means he fully accepted Lord Chaitanya.
He fully surrendered.
There's no any formality around.
Yes.
The lie, nothing.
Thank you. Yeah, the initiation was that he fully surrendered, he fully accepted the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, and that created the link.
Yeah.
And the diksha is really just a formality. And we shouldn't be anxious about that, you know, to become a diksha or anything like that. Thank you. Did someone over here also? Oh, Cyrus, yes. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. So, from my understanding from the whole, if I can take something away from this, is that, and I'm surprised no one said it, we're spirits.
We're winning for you.
We're, what can I say, eh? Being a spirit soul, all spirit souls are equal. So, situated equally, I beg your pardon, on the spiritual platform. So therefore, we have an equal chance to make advancement purely on the fact that we are spirit souls. And there's nothing apart from that. So a Paramahamsa would see that. Your spirit soul, so you stand every chance of doing just as great as anyone else.
Right. So you're saying, on the spiritual platform, we're all equal. We're all spirit souls, and we all have the same potential. And you know, whatever a spirit soul is capable of doing, anyone can do, because we're all spirit souls. So there's just no limitations.
And we're situated equally on the spiritual platform, is it not?
Right. We're all equal.
Being spirit soul.
Yeah.
Spirit soul.
We're equal, yeah. So I'm in a man's body now, and the next thing I know, I'm in a woman's body. I'm vice versa. So, yeah, thank you. We're all equal. Sorry, do you want to pass across here? So,
yeah, we can act on the spiritual platform, but we still have to respect the limitations of matter. So a man can't give birth to a child, no matter how much you might say, but it's fair, it's right, you know, everyone can have children. Physically, anatomy cannot produce a child from a male body in that same way, cannot give birth. So, you know, we're talking about bodily designations, but when you talk about spiritual consciousness, this is only within the heart. This is the consciousness. Again, that key word that I'm hammering is consciousness. And so then, likewise, think about the story. Forgive me, I can't remember the names of the devotees involved, but it was one disciple. He was reading the Bhagavad Gita, but he couldn't read. He was illiterate. And he was holding the book, and he was studying the book, and all he could see was the picture on the front. And he was crying. And somebody said to him, you know, why are you crying? And he said, because my Lord is so merciful. Who was it? Lord Chaitanya. So he was saying, you know, that my Lord is so kind. You know, he's taken the position of the whipping boy, the lower position. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, your understanding is perfect.
Right.
But this disciple was completely illiterate. So it's about the heart. How much are you conscious of Krishna? That all your activities become Krishna consciousness.
Right.
This is the only qualification.
Thank you. Yeah. You made the point that externally there is inequality. Bodies are not all the same. There's a difference. But internally, we're equal. And what matters is the spiritual consciousness. And then the example was there of that illiterate South Indian Brahmin. And Lord Chaitanya accepted him as fully self-realized soul, because of his understanding of the Gita. Thank you. Mataji?
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to add to Prabhu's point around, you know, because we're all spirit souls. So in Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastakam, when he says, be, you know, give respect to all, you know, this is the reason, because, you know, we are all spirit souls, and he regards everyone as equal. So even within the Vaishnavas, regardless of Varna or Ashram, we should be giving that respect, because everyone can give us blessings and we all need those blessings. But also, you know, for people who are not yet, you know, Krishna conscious yet, we should still be giving those blessings, because, like Prabhu said, that we all have the potential. We're all spirit souls, so regardless, that was just it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah. He's saying that again, emphasizing the importance that we're all spirit souls, equal, and you know, we can seek blessings from anyone. You know that, and we need those blessings. That we should always be seeking them. Does anyone have anything else to add? Any questions before we? Because it's 9 o'clock now, so we're getting a bit late. Did you want to go?
If I understood, you said at one point you have to do what the spiritual master says.
Yeah, there was. I was understanding the strictly, because Sarvabhaum was a strict follower, and that I understood translated to mean that you strictly followed the order of the guru. In body, mind, and words, yeah. And that spiritualizes you and everything you do. Did you have a question?
I'm sorry, I didn't do what my spiritual master said. Did they? How about you, Shamba? I didn't do. I'm sorry.
It's a work in progress. Can you pass it over to that side? Thank you. we're still trying to get that together.
I really like the fact that Mataji raised that point, because when you were giving the class and you were saying initiation, Sarvabhauma's initiation, and what does initiation mean? It's not external fire yagya, but it's when you accept the Lord's instruction within your heart. And you said, you cited that verse about the key instruction of Lord Chaitanya is to give up asat sangha tyag.
Yeah.
And I could feel my body kind of like just burning with shame, because I know I haven't given up asat sangha tyag, not 100%. And I was thinking, how am I ever going to accept this instruction within my heart and actually give it up? And if I may, just share a light on that question, that Prabhupada gives the analogy of a cup of ink. You know, like right now my heart is like a cup of ink. It's just naritas and attachments and addictions to sense gratification. And the way you get rid of the ink, you just can't artificially do it. You know, it's like your heart is full of ink. You get rid of the ink. You've got no heart left. It's just what you are. But Prabhupada gave the example of adding the milk. So the milk is satsanga. So I realize that I can't just give up asatsanga tyag. I can't. It's just I'm too addicted. But what I can do is begin manageably and realistically and genuinely, authentically, keep adding the satsanga until the satsanga gradually begins to displace and there's no room left for asatsanga.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, there's a danger we become pretenders. We pretend we're doing asat sangha tyag. But really, we all have our little addictions to this football match, or to this documentary, or to this newspaper, or to a little bit of Gramya Kata. But the only way it can genuinely go is by keep putting in the drops of milk, the drops of sat sangha.
Yeah, thank you. You're saying... yeah. The important thing is that asatsanga tyag is not something you can do artificially, and you know that if you're entirely steeped in asatsanga and then you just try to, you know, grit your teeth and renounce it, it's not going to work. But you have to gradually replace it, like Prabhupada gives that analogy of the inky water, and you can gradually add milk, and then it's all eventually milk. So what that means is that we increase our satsanga, we do more hearing and chanting, and as we do that, we gradually displace the asatsanga. Thank you very much. Alright, I think we better stop because it's gone 9 o'clock. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, brothers. Hari Bol.